three things. Three insignificant, unremarkable, idle things. But what if there was something else all along? Something that no one saw? Some priceless beauty hidden inside? And in the hands of an artist, a true creator, that something was found. The unseen potential in these familiar things. A common object creating something uncommon. The brilliant possibility seen by the artist. The beautiful function hidden within all of us. The glory within.
Once again. Hey, there we go. Good morning once again. Hey, I'm so thankful y'all are here today. Guys, we're doing a message called Hope in Action. And so we say this every week, so I'm just going to prepare you because today you're definitely going to need it. So how many folks have the Bible app on their phone? Guys, thousands in this house. It is crazy how many people have that. Really, really, really. I would encourage you, if you don't, you can download it really quickly from the App Store. I think the Google Play Store. Did I cover them all? Is that the two? Okay, yeah, I think it is. Or you can go to Bible.com, and what it will have on there is if you go on there, we're going to show you a video. If you'll go on there, whenever you go on there, I'm going to do it on my phone right now. If you go on there and you click the More tab, and you click Events, what is going to happen is you're going to make sure your location services are on, and when you do that, you're going to select the Vine Church, and when you do, it'll show you everything about the series, give you everything about what we're doing. More importantly, it's also going to tell you the scripture, let you take notes, but also let you have a way to get in touch with us each and every week. So if you have the Bible app, you're probably going to get that out today because we are going through a ton of scripture, I promise you today. And the reason that we're doing that is we're talking about the Vine Church and why we exist. Because so many times, if I'm completely honest, so many times in our life, we just have to go back to the beginning, right? Sometimes we have to go back to the beginning. Sometimes we have to go back to see how faithful God has been. Because, guys, I'm going to tell you, this time last year, we were getting ready for our first service. Actually, I think it was Hurricane Irma had come in around September 10th or so. It was the Sunday after Labor Day last year. It couldn't have been the 10th. Whatever it is. So Irma had come in, and we were actually going to have our first preview service, but it got canceled because the place where we meet was supposed to be set up to be a hurricane shelter. And so we couldn't have church because a hurricane shelter was going to be there, right? And it's so funny and so fitting that today we were getting ready for this message, and today God had prepared this on the day that was supposed to be our first preview service. So our pre-one-year anniversary, our one-year anniversary is coming up in October, but our pre-one-year anniversary where we had our preview services, that another hurricane would come and slam into South Carolina, and we would be in a different location, and we couldn't meet at our normal location. So God is faithful, and I just want to tell you really quick, I want to take a second before we go on to talk about God's faithfulness. How about a hand for all of our Vine creative team and, like, everything they do, our Vine worship? Like, come on, guys, like... Without them, guys, I would just be here with a wonderful starry night. So thank you guys always for making me look pretty and making me sound good and making me sound beautiful. It takes me a long time to paint these eyebrows on. I hope I didn't offend anyone. So that being said, I'm so thankful we get to be here. So we're talking about hope in action today. So really quick, you've got your Bible app. If you get your Bible, we're going to be all over Scripture today. But we just finished our series called Hope in the Dark. And so today, as we're getting ready for this, we're talking about not hope in the dark, but that hope being in action. And we're talking about that through the lens of the Vine Church. So last year, like I said, we were getting ready. It was Hurricane Irma came in on September 10th. We had our first preview service on September 17th, 2017. And this is kind of what it looked like.
Thank you.
So that was really, really awesome. God's really, really faithful there. And it was awesome to see. When I look at that, I see how far God's brought us. Those are just some of the few people that got to be in this very room, which is why it's so fitting that God's faithful day. Just a few of the people that got to be in this room from the beginning. And I look at that picture, and I look at where God has us now, and I see his faithfulness all over it. Guys, we're streaming services online every day. We get to have church with you throughout the week. We get to have church with you right now, all the way, each and every week, that we couldn't do then. Guys, we have a full band that sings each and every week. Our Vine worship team gets everything ready each and every week. We have screens that you don't have to, like, get in the aisle just so you can see the lyrics, like, screwed over because they're tall enough. Like, we have this wonderful starry night that God's given us that just is awesome that God's done with us. We have lights that brighten us up, that allow us to have worship and just give God all the glory and praise. We have people who give generously. We have people who serve generously. And more importantly, we've got to see life change at the Vine Church since we've launched. And so when I look back at God's faithfulness, I look back at this year, I say, hey, let's go back to the beginning and look at how God has changed this. So let me give you some stats, and then we're going to dive in. We've shared a lot, and I'm sure the number has been updated. So this time last year, there were a little over 650 churches in Spartanburg. 120,000 people don't have a church home in Spartanburg County. Now, that's not the whole upstate. That's just Spartanburg. That's crazy. So we should just go open up more churches, right? Like, that's the thing to do, is open up 1,000 more churches and make that happen, and we'll reach everybody, right? Like, that was the whole point, right? It's absolutely not. Like, we launched the Vine Church not just to be a church that's open, not just to be a church that's a church, but to be a church that is not afraid to be the church and go out and reach this city. No matter what, no matter what. If it means we got to set up in a house, we're going to set up in a house. If it means we're going to set up in a gym, we're going to set up in a gym. If it means we're going to set up in a YMCA that smells sometime like a gym, because it's a gym. If it means setting up there each and every week, getting up early, hauling a trailer back and forth. At that moment in time, guys, like, we had a U-Haul and a ramp. And I promise you, some four-letter words were shared, and it wasn't love. It was not love when we shared that when we were coming in and out of the YMCA. That's a four-letter word. We'll roll with that. We said YMCA a lot when we were coming out of there. But we realized that it wasn't about that. It was just about being obedient to what Jesus did and trusting him to what he was calling us to be. We're not afraid to reach this city. We're not afraid to go after the one. It's not about having the most numbers. It's not about having the most Twitter followers, the most Facebook users, the most people watching online. It has nothing to do with that. It's just being obedient to what Jesus has called us to do. And we're going to continue to do that. That's what the Vine Church is called to be. And there's going to be times that it's changing, and there's going to be times that it looks completely different than when it did in the beginning. But as long as we're following Jesus step by step, we're doing the right thing. And so I want to tell you, that's what the Vine Church is all about. We're not just opening doors just to be a church. We're called to be the church. And the way that we're also going to do that, we say it every week, is we're going to fulfill the Great Commission by loving God and loving others. But we also understand that we hold the keys to unlocking the potential to every person in Spartanburg living the life that God called them to live, that God made them to live. And the only way that we can do that is by being the church. So that's the backdrop of what we have today. That's where we are today. So I just want to tell you, I'm going to share with you the vision of the Vine Church. We're going to bounce through some scripture. You're going to be able to see that on the screen. You should be able to see it under you, under me here, hopefully, if you're watching online. Either way, we'll make sure that we get you the information. But I just want to go back to the vision of what God's called us to be. So the first thing that we believe at the Vine Church, if you hadn't figured this out yet, that we believe is that Jesus is the center. Jesus is the center of everything we do, guys. We're going to bounce through some scripture in a second, but Jesus is the center of everything we do. Not center. I know I have that southern drawl, and it sounds bad, but center. Jesus is the center of everything we do. So in saying that, I just want to share my story real quick while we're looking at that, just as quickly as I can. You know, we've had some folks come and speak, and they've shared their story. And I just want to tell you, and quickly as I can, if you don't know me, a little bit about me. So I grew up without my dad. My dad was killed by a drunk driver when I was 2, and I grew up without my dad. And God had something crazy awesome planned for me then, if I'm completely honest. And it's even more evident when I look back at his faithfulness. But at that moment in time, like, I grew up without a dad. So statistically, I should be in jail. Statistically, I should be addicted to something. Statistically, I probably should be working on strike three. Statistically, I should be probably dead by now. Statistically, because I don't have a dad. Statistically, I shouldn't be a college graduate. Statistically, I shouldn't be a pastor at a church. Statistically, I shouldn't be doing those things. But God had something bigger planned. So much so that at age 7, I got to meet Jesus. Normally, I would show you my Kumo D picture here, but I didn't. But I got to meet Jesus when I was 7, baptized when I was 8. And I want to tell you, as I grew up in the church, I grew up with a Pharisee heart. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've had some speakers talk about growing up without a dad and trying to fill that void. I know what that feels like, to not have an earthly father. And try to fill that void with everything in the world, even growing up in the church. But for some reason, when I came to that crossroads, Jesus had a different path for me, and I obediently followed it. Can I say that I'm perfect at everything? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not perfect at everything. But I can tell you where I screwed up in my walk with Christ is growing up in church without a dad. Growing up knowing Jesus, I became very hard-hearted to people who didn't know who Jesus was. Hard-hearted to people who didn't care who Jesus was. Hard-hearted for people who knew Jesus and wouldn't take a next step of faith. When somebody says, I'm struggling with a problem, I would be hard-hearted. I would just be like, well, how are you struggling? You have Jesus, right? I would struggle with that. And my heart would become very Pharisaical, so much so that I could give you Bible quote after Bible quote, scripture after scripture, word after word, and tell you what to do, but it wouldn't come across with love. And so it fell on deaf ears. And so I can tell you in my story how Jesus has just saved me from so many things is He's working on my Pharisee heart. This church is part of it. I'm just going to be honest with you. There are so many times I wouldn't have told you so long ago that I would even be here if that was the case. Because at 16, I knew I was called to ministry. Had some crazy things happen at a church with a youth pastor. Had some crazy things happen with a pastor. And I would tell you, I said ministry wasn't for me. Other people saw it, told me that they saw it in me, and I told them they were crazy. That I wasn't going into ministry. There's no way that I'm going into ministry because I just saw the destruction that religion does to everyone's life. But Jesus woke me up through that to say, it's not religion, Tyler. See, this is what religion will do is completely destroy you. But if you're in me and you have a relationship with me, completely change everything you're doing. And so in that, when I look back, I see God's faithfulness, but I can see where I went down this winding, curvy path all the way through to get me right here at the Vine and where we are today. So much so, I was on staff at a church at one time, and I would have told you, man, I got it all figured out. It's where I'm going to retire. It's where I'm going to be done. God had different plans. God knew something different. He had different plans. He had something better in store. He knew that He wanted something different for me. And so here I am. And here we are at the Vine. So I want you to know that Jesus is the center of everything we do. I tried to keep that short and sweet. That's not all of my story. Hey, if you come hang out with us on Thursday night, shameless plug here, I'll share more of my story with you. More importantly, I would love for you to share your story with me because I would love to get to know you because it's not all about me. So I just want you to know a little bit about me. That's a little bit of the ups and downs. There's a lot more in there. Family and friends will tell you there's a lot more up and down in there. So I can't wait to share that with you. But let's get into Scripture. Jesus is the center of everything we do. So John 15 is where we're going to start today. And we're going to cover every book in the Bible. I'm just kidding. You're not going to be that bad. That's next week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Won't do that to you either. So John 15, verse 1 through 6 and verse 16 says this. And this is where it all comes from. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Jesus is speaking here. He is the true vine. His Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And guys, this is my life verse. Like, if you know anything about me, if you've seen anything about me, you're going to know John 15, 5 with Tyler West. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Religion had me trying to do it on my own. But with Jesus, He did a lot more in, through, and around me than I could ever do on my own. And I want you to know, each and every person here, same thing's true for you. Only in Jesus can you see that. It's not a 12-step program, not a checklist, not a scripture memory, not a sword drill that I won plenty of. If you know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, but I did. Those things, not that. It's trusting Jesus is who he says he is. And it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is my favorite part of this. It goes on in verse 16 and says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You know, so many times we can misconstrue that and say that. We always say, well, if you just ask in the name of Jesus, you can have it. I've prayed for the lottery many times, and it just wasn't his will that I win it, right? But I've got to live something better than the lottery and the life that he's called me to live. Because here's the thing. When I realized that he chose me, I didn't choose him. He chose me. He loved me enough to come down from his high place in heaven, from heaven to earth, walk this earth as a man, live the life that I couldn't live, die the death that I deserved on the cross. He chose me, loved me enough, not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life and have it to the full. He chose me and appointed me to do that. Winning the Mega Millions, just be icing on the cake. Just be icing on the cake. Because I'm already living the dream life. I'm already living the lotto life. I'm already living something that's greater than I could ever ask or imagine. And here's the thing for you. If you're searching for that and you don't know where that is, maybe it's because Jesus isn't the center of your life. And if he's not, we're going to walk through that today, how we can knock that out. But I want you to know at the Vine Church, everything we do revolves around Jesus being at the center. It's not about egos. It's not about me. It's not about my name in flashing lights, your name in flashing lights. It's not about your name spelled out on this. That would be great and cool if it did that really quickly. That would be really funny. But no, it's not that. It's about the name of Jesus. It's about making his name famous. And I want you to know you're chosen and appointed to be listening to this right now for a reason. Whatever you're walking through, you're chosen and appointed to be listening to this. I want you to know that. Maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you feel like nobody cares and nobody's listening or nobody gives a rat's, lack of a better term. Butox. There we go. That's better. I want you to know Jesus chose you. Long before you were ever on this earth, Jesus chose you. Before it says in the Word, and it isn't on your scripture, but before the earth was formed, he knew you. Before September 17th, 2017, Jesus knew the Vine Church would be here. That blows my mind. It blows my mind before October 22nd at our first service that he knew we would be here. He knew we would be walking through. Hey, he even knew that this day we'd be getting to meet in this house talking about this. How faithful is God? How faithful is God? Moving on. The second thing we believe, living a faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ. Living a faith-filled big life starts with small next steps in Christ. Living a faith-filled big, there we go, I feel better, life starts with small next steps in Christ. Small next steps in Christ. Two scriptures here for you. Zechariah 4:10 says this, who dares despise the day of small things? Now, I know that other stuff talks about seven eyes of the Lord that reigns throughout the earth. Rejoice when we see the chosen capstone of the hand of Zerubbabel. We'll talk about that later. That'll be fun. We won't talk about that today. I know you're just looking at seven eyes, but that's crazy. Don't look at that part. Look at who dares despise the day of small things. Guys, if you think God hasn't appointed the day to happen, it started right here. And we're right here again. Small beginnings. It started in a living room, in a house. It started. God is faithful. James 1:22 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. You see, we want to make church a safe place for everyone. We want anyone and everyone to come in, whether they follow Jesus for 20 years, 20 minutes, 20 weeks, or don't even know who he is or care who he is. We want this to be a place where everyone can come because we know no matter what, we're going to love God, love others. We're going to be him to them. and how we serve and how we make coffee and how we open doors and how we have signs out there and how we give bulletins, how we set up chairs, how we throw down tarps, how we set up a stage, how we sing, not me, but somebody else that's better, how we sing, how we lead. We're going to have that every week. We're going to do what he says. So let me show you this. Since October 2017, here's the life change that Jesus has had. We've seen 7 salvations and 4 baptisms. So if you can't celebrate that, that's crazy, right? Now listen. This is from a church that averages probably in the 20s in a year, guys. So over a third of life change happened. So imagine if 1,000 people were there. Would you celebrate 300 salvations? If 10,000 were there, would you celebrate 3,000 salvations? And hey, listen to this. If 100,000 were there and there was only one salvation, we should be celebrating till the roof blows off this place, because there's no one more faithful than God to allow us to be a part of that. If all of us came together to see one person cross from death to life, oh my goodness, how crazy is that? That's what it's all about, because it's all about small next steps. So many times in this world we live in, we think it's this big plan. We want to know how it ends. Like, we want to have, like, I think of it kind of like at a movie preview, right? Like, they get you in just enough. And here recently, it's probably just the good parts. Like, that's the whole good part of the movie, right? Like, that's how we want to follow Jesus, right? Like, in a world where, I don't know, like, a hurricane came. Like, you know, in a living room and more. Like, right? You know, like, something like that. We want to see that. We want to live this preview life. And we want to know how it ends. I want to tell you how it ends. Jesus wins. One small step at a time. It's not this big, big thing. It's not this big, big mountain to climb. It's not this big, big hill where we have to have all these 12,000 steps. It's one small next step at a time. And because of our small next steps, Jesus let us be a part of 7 people crossing from death to life and 4 people being baptized. As a matter of fact, here's a picture of our baptism that we did at Easter this past year. It's crazy. We got to see 2 families get children baptized. Like, this is the generation, guys. I hear the next generation all the time. This is the generation. This is who we're passing the torch to. This is people who are living. So much so, this is my niece and nephew. And yes, I'm always making that crazy face, if you know that. My poor family has to put up with me all the time. But this is my niece and nephew. And this is a person in our church, Ruby. This is her grandsons getting baptized. Ruby Cromer. This is Zach and Ian Cromer there, with their father and their grandfather there, celebrating a small next step of baptism and a humidity-filled, sweaty, hot pool that Jesus knew we would get to be in. But we celebrated and celebrated. And I want you to know, at the Vine Church, every next step you take will be celebrated, because Jesus didn't create us for a life of sitting still. He created us to take next steps. Because if we don't have a next step, we might as well just be in eternity, because that's all that's left. So I want you to know, at the Vine Church, we're always going to be living this faith-filled big life with small next steps. And I want to tell you, all the way through this, in this picture, that wasn't a perfect baptism. It wasn't a perfect thing. Like, we didn't have it all figured out. No one slipped and fell. Praise God and amen. We were good with that. But as you can see, like, it didn't matter that it wasn't perfect. It didn't matter that clothes matched or didn't match. It didn't matter that people were wet hugging each other. Just as a matter of fact, look at these pictures. Like, all of us are flopping, sweating wet, the people that got to be baptized, and me. And yet their arms around each other. It didn't matter. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. And I want you to know, the progress is one small step at a time. So many times in our life, maybe you're looking for perfection. You're not going to find it except in the person that is Jesus. He is the only perfect one. You'll never be it. Only through him can you achieve it. And I want you to know, don't get stuck in that. Live a life that is one of progress. And so saying that, I want you to know, at the Vine Church, as you see everyone is fully wet, we believe in full immersion baptism, okay? We believe that's what Jesus called us to do. Jesus was fully immersed when he was baptized. Before he started his ministry, he knew that baptism was something that he had to model for us. And so you see each and every person that was baptized is completely wet, because they got choke slammed in the water by me. Like, we made sure that they were good to go. They went all the way under. And so maybe that's where you are. Maybe you've met Jesus and you feel stuck in your walk and you don't know what to do next. Your next step is baptism. Step into that. Don't be afraid of that. That's the next step he's calling you to today. That's why you've been chosen and appointed to be here hearing this today, is so that you can be baptized. And guess what? We got a way to do it. You just let me know and we'll figure it out. I mean, we even have a pool that we can do it in, even at the Y or even after a cookout. I'm just saying, we have some place where each and every person can be baptized. So I want to let you know, if that's you, that that's awesome. So really quick, one more time, if you'll throw that up there, I'm going to try this one more time because we got to give Jesus some praise. We've seen 7 salvations and 4 baptisms since launch. So how about this? Come on, y'all. We got to give some love. We should be throwing the roof off this place. If the roof fell, I would be so awesome, Lord. I'm just kidding. Let's not hurt anyone. Let's make sure it's the neighbor's house and we'll pray for them. It'll be good. The next thing we believe at the Vine Church is life change happens best in Christian community. Life change happens best in Christian community. Life change happens best in Christian community. See, there's something about gathering. There's something about coming together. It just makes difference, right? Like every one of us, the real thing is every one of us should have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's the whole goal of why we do, but we should also have one-on-one time with Jesus. Like when I'm singing to the Lord and I'm praying, got my worship on and I'm praising and giving God the glory in my quiet time or my time where I just got my Bible open and I'm just asking Jesus what he would show me, it's going to sound a lot different than if I have our Vine worship team come up here and do it, because you're going to listen to them, not me, because you should. That's what God's gifted them to do. But there's something about when we come together with a Vine worship team and we come together with a Vine creative team and our Vine kids team comes together and our guest services team comes together and everyone, our operations come together and we come together and we worship one with someone else around us. There's something about that. There's something magical in that. There's something that stirs you. There's something that moves you. There's something that gives you just this juice to take this next step. And what that's called is edification. And what I mean by that is life change happens best in Christian community because we can spur each other on to good works. We can edify. We can build each other up to take that next step. Because sometimes, listen, if you told me to go run a mile, okay. Working on it. But if you told me to go run a mile, but if you said, hey, will you run a mile with me because I'm trying to raise money for this cancer patient, I'd do it with you tomorrow in a heartbeat. Might die of a heart attack crossing the finish line, but that cancer patient is going to get their money. Like I'm telling you right now, that's who I am. But what I'm getting is it's just something about community, isn't it? So some of us live in lives where we don't know our neighbors. Some of our neighbors play in the yard. Just saying. We don't know our neighbors. And that's okay. But I would say, what if it was our goal to make sure that every Sunday and every Thursday, every person that we come in contact, every day of the week, every person we come in contact with doesn't feel alone and knows that somebody's with them no matter what they're going through. Because when that happens, life change happens. When that happens, those keys that we hold the potential to unlocking the life that God's called each and every person to live, that man, when we share that with each other, oh my goodness, it just opens up the possibilities, doesn't it? So let's see what Scripture says about it. Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25 says this. And now let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And not give up meeting together, just like today. We didn't give up meeting together today. Thank God we had an opportunity to not give up meeting together today. We've had some great breakfast, some great fun. Hopefully we're going to have some great lunch after. Might have open mic. It is what it is. But like, there's something about meeting together, right? Something about meeting together to make it happen. But it says this, and I love that the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't neglect it as some are in the habit of doing. You know, sometimes when you go to church, that's what happens. Somebody wore the wrong color shirt, wrong color shoes, stole your lip gloss, have your same lip color on, and you don't like it. Like, right? Like, there's something about it that makes you mad. And I get that. But I just want to tell you, what if you just looked past that and said, hey, I'm just going to choose to stay connected and committed to this group of people that Christ has called me to be a part of. And we're going to spur one another on to good works and good deeds. What if we just stuck together in that? How much different would the world look? It would look a whole lot different, wouldn't it? How much different would our world look like? A whole lot different, right? We wouldn't be arguing over candles and how this drape isn't exactly black, but it's off black. It's more of a charcoal color gray. Like, you know, like we wouldn't be arguing about that because we know there are greater things that happen because life change happens best in Christian community. It goes on to say this. Not only don't neglect meeting together, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So, you know, I talk about the reason that we're the Vine Church is John 15:5. And you can see the Vine logo everywhere is this tree and it's this vine. And it's all about connection. That whole thing that Jesus was talking about, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you're connected to the vine, you're going to bear fruit. Now, I don't know what kind of fruit. All of us have different fruit. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. We can dive into that a little later sometime. But, like, you're going to bear fruit if you're connected to the vine. But when you're not, you're thrown into the fire. And so for each and every one of us, I know what today I want us to know that, hey, connection's what it's all about. Christian community is what it's all about. When we come together, we can do something so much more extraordinarily greater than we could ask or imagine than if we try to do it on our own. And I wish I always lived that well. I don't. I will tell you that. But I will tell you, inside of community, the best things can happen. So much so, let me read you this quote that I heard. I wish I was, one day Jesus will let me be smart enough and wise enough to write it. But I heard it said this way, so I want to share it with you. When any unique individual is wholly present in a community, that community is naturally strengthened, wholly present, real. For people in your life, you can be real with. Seeing you without your makeup on, seeing you in your shorts, seeing you like, you know, seeing you with your hair not gelled, and seeing you, you know, seeing you, just know you. Not a veiled you, not a Facebook you, not an Instagram you, not a Twitter you, not a, I guess, Pinterest, Snapchat, whatever else in the world you use now. Not a social media you, but a real you that you can cry with, you can laugh with. You can look at the dog running down the street and smile at. Like, people in your life you can just be real with. Do you have that? And if you don't, there's an opportunity for you to do that on Thursdays. That's what it's all about, because when you are present in community, the community is naturally strengthened. When we take our place in the community of believers, though, that community is actually strengthened supernaturally by God's presence. Remember, where two or three are gathered, he says he's there also. So what if coming together brought something supernatural? Supernatural. When you think supernatural, isn't that cool? Supernatural. Something that is beyond us, in other words. Something that is greater than us comes to be a part of us. That only happens when we gather together in community, and especially so when we have the faith for God's presence. So one more time, that quote is, when any unique individual is wholly present in a community, that community is naturally strengthened. When we take our place in the community of believers, the community is additionally strengthened supernaturally by God's presence. And especially so when we have faith for God's presence. We're getting there. We're almost done. We're getting there. Only 4 more hours, and we'll be good. It's going to be great. And David's got like a 30-song worship set after this, so it's going to be awesome. You guys are ready to go. It's going to be fun. Really, we're almost there. We believe in honoring one another to glorify God. We believe in honoring one another to glorify God. We believe in honoring one another to glorify God. You know, that opener talked about the glory within. And each and every one of us have the glory of God inside of us. And the way that we share that is how we honor each other. Mark says it this way. Mark 10, verse 43 through 45 says this way. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, Jesus is talking to the disciples here, must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Romans goes on, and it's very famous. Romans 12 goes on, and you could also look in 1 Corinthians 12 if you ever wanted to look at this. But Romans 12 says it this way. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. Give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. Thankful for the sowers of the Vine Church, because we get to do that. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. That's huge. How we love God, love others is what's going to change everything. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Galatians 5:13 says it this way. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use that freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Or we'll go old school how we heard it in church. Humbly. Like that silent H, wherever that is. But seriously, serve one another humbly and love. The key to all of those, love. 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 We've always said at the Vine Church, we're going to fulfill the Great Commission and how we love God and love others. So much so, you know, we said this, and this is something from the beginning, and I was looking back and saying something that we said a lot that, man, I know that we can get back to, and I know that we can always do, and I wish I could say I was 100% there, but sometimes I can get you there. If you know anything about me, we will. But the one thing I want the Vine Church to be known for is we are going to laugh hard, laugh loud, and laugh often. We got to laugh, and that only happens through love. Now, sometimes you want to punch each other through love too, right? Like anybody who's ever been in a relationship knows that that can be that way. But there's also laughter. And when you have laughter, that's a byproduct of your joy. Like we have joy in knowing what God's called us to do. And so many times in my life, I want to tell you what I want the Vine Church to be known for. And we'll go back to the beginning to see. We got to laugh loud, laugh hard, and laugh often. Because if we're not doing that, I'm telling you, it's an obligation. It's not obedience. And when that happens, we get stuck. And when we get stuck, that's when it gets real hard. It gets real hard to be in community. It gets real hard to show love to others. It gets really, really hard. And so for us, if we're doing that, I know that that's how we can show people what we love. We also know that we believe in honoring one another to glorify God because we know it's not about us. Once again, it's not about us. It's not about our name and shining lights. It's not about our website hits. It's not about how many people we see come through the doors all the time. All those are great. Trust me, we want that to happen. We don't want to just be a church that's just around. We want to be a church that's making a difference in people's lives. We know that it's not about us. We know it's not about us. Because we know that when we do that and we share the hope of the gospel, not only is this city going to be changed, eternity's going to be changed, our state's going to be changed, our nation's going to be changed. Shoot, the world's going to be changed. All because we're obedient to what God's called us to do. So here's what I want to tell you. We believe in the body ministering to the body. So I just want to throw this out here to you. If you haven't heard, you know that we have some ministries here at the Vine Church. I've got to talk about a few of them today. Our Vine Kids Ministry. Man, it's awesome what they do. It is about teaching kids Jesus on their level. It's not about it being the next generation. It's about them being the generation that's going to continue to carry this thing farther than we could ever ask or imagine because they're going to be here long beyond us. And when they go, they're going to connect, go, and grow. And if you want to be a part of Vine Kids, I want to tell you, it's incredible. My niece and nephew are in Vine Kids. I mean, they know Jesus because of that. That's part of what they've done is in Vine Kids. And I just want to tell you, it's a big, big deal. It's a big, big deal. So if you want to be a part, maybe kids aren't your thing. That's okay. Maybe you can rotate in and out of there every now and again. Maybe it's just something you can do every once in a while. I mean, maybe it's not even that. Maybe you go, hey, I don't do the pee-pee and poo-poo diaper, but I'll run around with the elementary kids all day long. Maybe that's you. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. Because I want to tell you something. I only know Jesus because my church had a children's ministry. Like, I know Jesus because my sister sat in there with me as a 7-year-old. I would not let my middle school sister leave me alone in children's church. And had she walked out of there, I can't promise you we would have went back to that church the next Sunday. Because I clung to my sister. Like I'm telling you, like if she wouldn't have been there in that children's church, and so much so she walked with it through me that I continued to go in there and it led me to meeting Jesus. So I'm a believer in children's ministry. I'm a believer in that. And so our Vine Kids ministry set up for that. Another one is the Spur. You saw some folks, I know, don't get upset if you're a Clemson fan. It is what it is. The Spur, it's a part of a vine, okay? It's a part of a vine. I'm not a Gamecock either. I could care less. I hope they both lose this week. I don't know how to do it. I hope they play each other and they both lose. It don't matter to me. However it is, if that's possible, let's make it happen. I don't have a dog in that fight. So for me, the Spur will be our middle school ministry, middle school and high school ministry. We're going to get there one way because we're going to spur one another on to good of the works, right? That is part of the vine. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Also, we have our Vine creative team who makes this look so awesome each and every week, and our Vine worship team, our Vine production and worship is inside of the Vine creative team. They do a great job, actually more than a great job. They do an amazing job every week at what they do. To make this, they make me look real pretty, y'all. I mean, if you see me on camera, I'm like 400 pounds, and they slim me down. It's really crazy. They have to roll me in here. It's crazy. They paint my eyebrows on. I have freckles everywhere. I'm actually probably, like, I don't have a tan, but they probably make me look like I have one because that's just how it is. That's actually freckles coming together on the camera. They pull them all together. But really, if you have an interest in that and you love doing that behind the scenes, you love running cables, like it excites you when you see something's not working. Yeah, let them know. They want to be a part of that, because when I see something's not working, like, I'm throwing something, and it's probably a tantrum. I'm just kidding. It's not a tantrum. It's not that bad anymore. But, like, seriously, like, I'm doing something probably crazy. Like, it doesn't excite me. Like, I want to solve the problem, but, like, I get frustrated because I can't figure it out. I don't have the wits or the wisdom to do that. But if that's you, let me know. We'd love to hang out with you. Hey, maybe it's our Next Steps team. I don't know if you know this, but our Vine Next Steps team, we have a power plant praying team is what we call it. It's our power plant team. And whether you know that or not, there are people that search for things online and they ask for prayer. And we have a team that specifically prays for and with them as those requests come in daily. And so maybe you didn't know that. Prayer@thevine.tv, let us know. We'd love to hang out with you and pray for you, pray with you, pray for you. But more importantly, we don't want it just to be a one-time chance that we just say, hey, we prayed for you. Like, we don't roll with that. We want to follow up with you. We want to make sure that you know that you're not walking through this alone. So we have a power plant praying team. Maybe that gets you excited. Maybe you love helping people walk through next steps. If you love to do that, come be a part of our Vine Next Steps team. We have our Vine Guest Experience team that, man, I have a passion for that. I have a passion for the guest experience. I'm not perfect at it. I need help with it. But it matters to me how people feel in and out of coming in. Like, hospitality, holla at your boy. Like, that's just how I roll. Like, I love those things. I love seeing those things. I'm not great at it. I don't have great gifts for it. I have to have people around me. But I love knowing that people left feeling more loved and better than how they walked in. Like, I love that. That's something that gets me excited. So if you're excited about that and the guest experience, we'd love to get you there. And also our operations team that just make this thing work throughout the week. They track things. If you're great at spreadsheets, praise God for you. If you're great at spreadsheets, I sometimes can be. Don't tell anyone. It's a hidden thing. But if you're great at spreadsheets, you're great at tracking things, you're great at looking at trends, maybe you like finances. Hey, I can help you there. We have a team that does that. I'd love for you to be a part of that. So know that we know it's not about us, because we believe that excellence honors God and it inspires people. Excellence inspires people, not perfection. Perfection isn't real. Only Jesus is perfection. And that's the only real you're going to get in perfection. So I just want you to know that we believe in excellence, and we believe that the body ministering to the body, and it inspires people. So we're getting there. We believe you can't outgive God. We only got one more after this. Hang in here with me. You can't outgive God. This is where I get really excited, y'all. I can't accept. All right, here we go. You can't outgive God. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. We're going to roll through these. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats brim over with new wine. Don't get excited about the wine part, but really, really, really. God says if you'll give your first fruits, then your vats and your barns will be overflowing. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Goes on, Malachi 3:10, the one we talk about all the time. I'm not talking about a percentage. I'm just talking about what it says. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. We'll talk more about that in a second. Matthew 6:21 goes on to say this. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. This is where I will tell you, man, so many times in my giving to the church, I did out of obligation, and I didn't do with a joyful heart. And it also tells us that Jesus loves a cheerful giver and a joyful heart, not one that's giving out of obligation. So that's why you're not going to hear me stand up here and compulsory tell you, hey, we got to raise X amount of dollars to do this all the time. That's just not who I am. It's not what I believe. I believe that Jesus is after your heart holy. And when you completely follow him, he'll tell you what you need to give. I don't need to stand up here and tell you that. I mean, I don't need to stand up here and tell you I need a $54 million jet that goes around. I'm just kidding. I don't need that. I'll take the $20 million one. It is what it is. We'll go on a trip sometime. I'm just kidding. More on that in a second. 2 Corinthians 9:6. You see this a lot if you give at the Vine Church. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Let me tell you a stat really quick since we've launched. It's going to pop up here, and it's blown my mind, but it's how faithful God is. Since we have launched in October, actually, of last year, since last year, let's just say 2017, since launch, we have seen over $33,000 sown into global missions. $33,000, guys. I don't know if you $33,000. That's more than some of us making a year, right? Like $33,000 we've got to sow into the community. Not because we wanted to stand up here and say, we got to go for $33,000. No, it wasn't that. It was we all gave as God called us to give. Let me tell you, the reason that that happens, this is going to stay on the screen throughout this. I want to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. The Vine, I don't know if you know this about the Vine Church. This is why I don't talk to you about a number. The Vine gives a tithe every month. Our pastoral advisory team, we pray over churches that we can give to. We give a 10% of all tithes and offerings received every month goes to a local church around the world. It can be anywhere. We've given to churches in New York. We've given to churches in Cincinnati. We've given to churches, here locally in Spartanburg. We've given to churches in Florida, churches in Charleston. Like, we give to a local church around the world. 10% of all tithes and offerings received. Like, it's not a question of that. That's what God's called us to do as the Vine Church. May not be what God's called you to do, but I'm telling you, whatever comes in, 10% straight off the top every month goes to a local church around the world. But so much so, we believe in irrational generosity so much, 5% of all tithes and offerings received goes to a gospel-centered nonprofit. So the Vine gives 10% to a local church around the world, and 5% more goes to a gospel-centered nonprofit. Like, we've got to give all over. We've got to give to missions all over the world with that, for real. Like, we've got to give to missionaries all over the world. We've got to give to missionaries here locally that are reaching people all over the world. Like, 15% of all tithes and offerings received monthly go straight out the door. Like, it's not a question asked. Like, we prayed, what would God have us do? And we said 15% of what's given is going to go out. And let me tell you how faithful God is with irrational generosity. By the end of 2018, we will cross over 30% given to local missions around the world, to the local church around the world, and global missions around the world. Like, God is faithful in that. Like, we started at 15, and we've seen him allow us to give 30 this year. That's crazy. Like, let me ask you this. What if I told you, I'm not going to say it as clearly as I am, so I'm going to say it a little differently, as clearly as I've heard it explained. What if I told you that your dollar, could be worth $33,000, your $1? Would you trust God then with it? Because if that's what he's called you to give it. And watch what he does. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish and a little boy's sack lunch and fed thousands. So much so 12 basketfuls were left over. That's the God we serve. And we believe you can't outgive God. Listen, I'm practicing what I'm preaching. I'm not sitting here giving. I know I'm sitting here talking with you, but I practice what I preach. And I want to tell you this. God's called me to live a life of irrational generosity. As the pastor at the Vine Church, I get to do this for free because I'm a realtor. Not because the church is strained financially, not because we don't have the funds to pay the pastor. It's just what God's called me to do. So I get to do this for free because he's after my heart. That's what's best for my heart. And so I get to do this for free. So I get to sell houses here on earth and get to sell houses in heaven. Like, I get to do both. Like, I get to take both of those. And I want to tell you, I get to do all of this for free. And it's not that we won't have a staff one day. It's not that the Vine Church is going to be completely staffless without pay. I'm just doing what God's called me to do. And I live it. Every day I live it. And so I would challenge you to say, if you think I'm stupid, awesome. I've been laughed out of a lot of rooms. That's okay. Sometimes I think I'm stupid too. But I know when I'm called to follow Jesus step by step, what else could I do but do that? So I practice what I preach. And yes, I give a tithe and an offering. And yes, I'm part of this as well. But I want you to know, if I can do it, by golly, you can too. And if it's a quarter, man, trust him with a quarter. I don't know how much harder it is. I promise you, let me tell you how much faith works. When you go to the drive-thru for dinner or lunch and you order a number 5, you have faith you're going to get a number 5, right? Now, depending on where you go, I'm going to be real. I already know. Let's say Chick-fil-A because they ain't open and nobody's going to be mad at me. But Chick-fil-A and you order a number 5, you expect to get a number 5, right? Why would you not expect the creator of the universe and trust him enough when you give a dollar when he's called you to that you're going to get more than a dollar in return? Because it's not about you. But imagine that dollar not just affecting you, but your next door neighbor, their kids, their kids' kids, their kids' grandkids, the niece and nephew, everyone. Imagine that. So if we can trust that in our world, we can trust God. We're almost done. Last one. We believe we are God's plan for growing his church. We believe we are God's plan for growing his church. We talk about the Great Commission all the time, and this is where that comes from. It's Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, and it says this: Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always until the very end of the age. John 1 says it this way. If you know anything about me, I'm going to be all up in some John. I love the Gospel of John. It's actually called the love gospel. It's about, he's the apostle of love. That is what it is. Look it up. Be good times. John 1 says it this way. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. Not Bo Cephas. Let's get that correct. Cephas, which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and with all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked, and this is what's so important. Come and see, said Philip. We're going to be known as a come and see church at the Vine. That's who we are. Come and see. Because we know when we point people to Jesus, when you find him, it's not going to be hard. Is life easy? Heck yeah. It's not. I'm just kidding. It's not easy. Life isn't going to be easy from that. Is it going to be hard? Yes, it is. But you're going to have hope. You're going to have peace. No matter what storm comes in, no matter what floods you, no matter what happens, you're going to have peace because you have Christ. Because you know it's not about you. It's not about this earth. It's about heaven. It's about Christ. So we know that we are his plan for growing his church because we want people to come and see. Come and see. It's all about living a life of invitation and investment. Because if I invite you all day long, that's awesome. If I'm not investing in you, you don't care. But if I'm investing in you and I'm inviting you, trust me, it's something that will pay dividends in eternity. And so I'm asking you and telling you the Vine Church will always be a place where we invite and invest, because Jesus always had an open invitation to me. No matter what age I was, no matter where I am, and I promise you right now, he has the same for you. He has an invitation that says, come and see. Just come follow me. Hey, if you think all this isn't real, just follow me. Just see what it's all about. Just take one small step. Just take a step and see what I can do. Watch what I can do. Live what I can do. Hey, just trust me. Just take a step. Like, so much so the Bible says that he's knocking on the door right now, asking you to let him in. And so the question I have for you as we get ready here at the end is, have you ever let Jesus in? Maybe you've lived a life of come and see this next great product, come and see this next great thing, come and see this next thing. And I want to tell you, the Vine Church isn't about a thing. It's about Jesus. It's about the very creator of the universe loving us so much that he sent his only son to live a life we couldn't live, die death for our sins on a cross, but loved us enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that we can have life and have it to the full. And the thing is, there's nothing we've done to earn it. There's nothing that we've done to say that we deserve it. There's nothing that we've done to say that we've got it all right. There's not a law that we've gone to do it. But here's the thing. There's also not anything that we haven't done that's rejected us from being able to receive it. So there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to lose it except not receiving it. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, we're going to do a worship song in a second. But I just want to ask you, have you ever follow Jesus? Have you ever said, come and see? When Jesus says, follow me, can you say that you followed him? Because, hey, the reason we do this at the Vine every week is because of that. Like, we're going to sing a song here in just a minute that's the God of the city. We're going to talk about how greater things are yet to come for this city. But here's what I want to tell you. With Christ, greater things are to come for you. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we pray this prayer collectively. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's actually receiving by faith that Jesus is who he says he is. When he says, come and follow me, you just follow him step by step. That he is the Son of God. That he died the death we deserve for our sins. Because here's the thing, all of us have this in common. All of us are sinners. Not one of us are exempt from that. Every single one of us are sinners. All of us. None of us have done enough to get out of this pit that is sin. And God, in his lavish mercy and grace, sends his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Sent his Son down to live the life we can never live, die the death we deserve on a cross, and rose again on the third day so that we can be heaven on earth now. And so my question is, have you ever accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you haven't, here's your opportunity. See, we're about to pray this prayer that says you're confessing with your mouth that he is Lord and believing in your heart that he rose again on the third day. And you're going to tell him to take over your life. And that's it. You receive him and take him at his word. Now, can I promise that the storm isn't still going to be out there tomorrow when you walk out this door? Absolutely not. But I can promise you the very creator and savior of the universe will be with you step by step, no matter where you go. And so we ask everyone here for the benefit of those that are coming to Jesus for the first time today to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you lived a life that I couldn't live. Died the death that I deserve, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're watching online or you're here in this house, I'm about to count to three, and I'm just going to ask you to be bold. If this is the first time that you can say that you have seriously heard Jesus say, come and see, and you followed him, we want to celebrate with you. We have people that want to walk with you step by step through this journey all the way through. So I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, that's you in this house, I'm going to ask you. If that's you watching online, there's a way that you can contact us. If that's you, reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. Send us an email or shoot us a text at 864-580-6698 or give us a call. We have people who want to celebrate Christ in you. Because the greater things that are come, you can't experience without Christ in your life. You might experience a good thing, but the greatest thing that is to come is when he is Lord of all, Lord of your life, and he is your Savior. So now, with every head bowed, I'm just going to ask you, go ahead and look up and stand up as we get ready for worship, and we celebrate the God of this city because we believe that greater things are still to come.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of this people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are. You're the light in this darkness, you're the hope in the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things have still to be done in this city. To be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
All right. Awesome day today. Man, thank y'all for coming to hang out here in this crazy circumstance, but perfect circumstance, the right circumstance. So we do it every week. Make sure you get an arm around someone. We're going to pray here at the end for everyone. Pray over this day. Pray again for the folks. I saw deodorant going on, so it should be good. It should be good today. We should be good. We should be good. It should be a good day. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that we get to do this. Thank you that we have got to be a part of seven people crossing from death to life since we've launched. Jesus, Jeremiah spent his whole ministry, the whole book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, there was one person who converted. You've let us see seven times that in 1 year. How crazy that. Not only that, it didn't stop at those seven salvations. We got to celebrate four baptisms. We've got to celebrate $33,000+ going back in obedience to what you've called us to do. And Jesus, we know we're just getting started. We know that greater things are to come, not because of us and how great you are, but because of how great of us is great we are, how great you are, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about your name being famous. We have nothing to do with this except be obedient by trusting you in faith to do what you said you would do. You said greater things are for this city. You are the God of this city. You are our God. And when we look on this city, we don't see this crazy thing of how we can have all these churches or how many people can come to our church. We look at this city and we see people searching for hope. And we're thankful that you let us be a part of that because we first experienced it through you and you alone. So today, whatever we're carrying in here, Jesus, I pray we'd lay it down. I pray that whoever's struggling right now with addiction or whoever's struggling in life with something no one knows about, that today they would have the courage to talk to someone about it. Maybe that someone just needs to reach out to us so that we can pray with and for them. Maybe someone today is just feeling alone. They need to talk to somebody about it. Jesus, I pray that you would give them the boldness to do that. Today, I pray that you would be with everyone affected by the weather outside. I pray that you would be with every person in this house, literally. Thank you for that, Jesus. And thank you for allowing us just to come here today and experience you in a new way. Thank you for reminding us of what the vine is all about, but more importantly, that you are the vine, Jesus. Thank you for that. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Well, we can't wait to continue next week as you ask for it. It's going to be good. So we're looking for questions there that you would love to be answered about God, the Bible, the church, and anything in between. We can't wait to see you next week. Have an awesome week.